We have a mission of helping women transform their biggest setbacks into their most gorgeous comebacks. As if we're not living our lives on our terms, what are we doing? So that's my work in the world, really, is connecting women with who they actually are and then creating space and confidence for you to go for what you would actually love. Which starts with some clarity, right? And some hard questions like, oh, what, who are you? Don't tell me you're a wife. Don't tell me you're a mom. Don't tell me you're from the South. Like, nope, that is not who you are. Those are some labels that we put on you, but let's strip all that. Let's get naked. Who are you at your heartbeat? Who are you in your breath? And then we start with the next question, and what would she love and what would you love? A lot of it is about money.
Interesting. When we talk about what we want, I think people sort of start from two places. So money is definitely one of them because societally, I mean, America specifically, we live in consumer nation. And so we're sort of taught that the more money you have, the better it is. And it definitely, I mean, my mom has a saying that money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does help. And I definitely can agree with that. Like, you know, I mean, there is a lot of stress and heartache that does come if you don't, you know, you feel like you don't have enough or you're, you know, kind of coming from a place of lack. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. Today we have Miss Dana on. She is an amazing coach. She is all about women's empowerment, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about who she is, what she does, and why she's excited to be on the show today. So welcome.
Thank you, Jax. Hey, friend. I'm Dana Hunter Fardella, founder of Girls Who Recover, which is my favorite thing that I've ever created and served and done. And so what is Girls Who Recover? We have a mission of helping women transform their biggest setbacks into their most gorgeous comebacks so that, and I'm going to use your words, Jax, so that women can live their lives on their terms and lives that they love. And so my podcast, Girls Who Recover, Light of My Life, and I also have a very small one-on-one coaching practice for the woman who's on the verge of a breakthrough. And my story does not start there. It's there where we are now. And I'm really excited to be here because if we're not living our lives on our terms, what are we doing? And by we, I'm just going to call us forward as women. And that's why I started this movement, because I was a woman who was not living her life on her terms. I was not living a life that I felt fully alive in, that I felt like I had chosen for myself, that I felt like I was obsessed with and in love with or lit up by. We were talking before we were recording about like, oh, well, I kind of came out the gate with this whole life plan, you know, like A plus B, then C, then D. And then as soon as you check all those boxes, then you'll finally have made it. And I did that. Killed it at school. I had that holistic resume. I was a high performer and had a bunch of friends. And then I went to a fancy school and got multiple degrees. And then I went to a graduate school and got a degree. And then I traveled abroad. And then I met a wealthy, handsome man. And then I had the house. And then I was in my dream job and at the top of this mountain and just thinking like, what in the fuck is happening? It's like everything that I thought I was supposed to want and everything that I thought I was supposed to do and feeling so empty and disappointed on the inside. Like, is there something else? Like, I did all the things. Why is it that, why don't I feel alive? Really? People say like, oh, I don't feel, you know, like I have a purpose or fulfillment. I had some isms along the way, right? So perfectionism, ism, which is a new term I've coined. And I also had alcoholism. And so I was talking to someone earlier about this. And at the sort of climax of the climax of that part of my life, all of those things collided. And I think that they contributed to each other because I kept feeling like, well, I still don't feel okay. And it's still not enough. And the thing that made that go away was drinking. So thankfully, the sky exploded and I got sober and I woke up and realized through the recovery process that those boxes were created by somebody else. And I don't actually have to subscribe to the boxes anymore. So then came this question, and then I'll toss it back to you. Well, what do you want? First of all, who are you now that you know you don't have to be that girl or that thing or that boss or that money or that title or drink a drinker anymore? Who are you? And then that second question is, now that you're clearer on who you are, what would you love? What would you love? Not your mama, not the patriarchy, not the Southern Deep South. What would you love, ma'am? And you'd be so surprised when I sit down with a woman for the first time And I ask her, I look her in the eyes and say, what would you love? And she's like, oh, well, I really want this, this, and this. You know, like my financial advisor said, I said, I want a house. And she's like, do you? Is that really what you would love? And I was astounded because nobody had ever until that moment looked at me and said, what would you actually love?
Right.
Strip away the expectations and the labels and the quote, American dream. And then what is actually singing from your heart? So I did buy the house, but with full confidence that that is actually what I would love. And I love it. So do my kids. We're all having a great time there. Yeah. So that's my work in the world, really, is connecting women with who they actually are and then creating space and confidence for you to go for what you would actually love. Which starts with some clarity, right? And some hard questions like, oh, what, who are you? Don't tell me you're a wife. Don't tell me you're a mom. Don't tell me you're from the South. Like, nope, that is not who you are. Those are some labels that we put on you, but let's strip all that. Let's get naked. Who are you at your heartbeat? Who are you in your breath? And then we start with the next question. And what would she love? And what would you love? And what a beautiful conversation to have. And a lot of it is about money. A lot of it is about money.
It's interesting when we talk about what we want, I think people sort of start from two places. So money is definitely one of them because societally, I mean, America specifically, we live in consumer nation. And so we're sort of taught that the more money you have, the better it is. And it definitely, I mean, my mom has a saying that money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does help. And I definitely can agree with that. Like, you know, I mean, there is a lot of stress and heartache that does come if you don't, you know, you feel like you don't have enough or you're, you know, kind of coming from a place of lack. The problem is that a lot of that is going to go back to like mentality and scarcity, right? Because that's all relative, right? As like how much is enough. And the other place is a lot of familial and societal expectations, like especially as women, right? Like what are we told is a gold standard, right? Like for our lives, right? Like we're supposed to get married and have, you know, 2.5 children and, you know, house and white picket fence, and you're supposed to take care of your family in these particular ways and all these different things. And so, you know, it's why I'm so adamant about being really careful when you're turning 18 and whether that next step is college or like what that looks like, is because what we should be doing is encouraging our kids to take a pause for a second to figure out who they are, what they want, right? Where are they being driven to? What are some of their passions? And instead, we're stuffing them back in the same box that we got stuffed into. And if we aren't feeling particularly fulfilled or particularly successful, and you know it exists when you feel that sort of nag, right? Like something's just not quite right. And for those of you who are sitting there like, oh yeah, no, really sit in your thoughts for like a minute and really dig deep, because I would suspect that a good 75%+ of people who are listening have some level of that. They just may have tried to tune out the noise of it, right, coming through, because it's easier that way. It's easier to convince yourself that the box that is surrounding you is comfortable and safe and all of the things you've told yourself. And so then we're stuffing our children into that exact same space, and shame on us for doing it for monetary reasons and societal reasons or whatever. But it's hard because self-awareness is hard. And it also means that it's going to be uncomfortable because you're going to have to find a new way. You can't just pull up the same old checklist and be like, okay, here it is, life success checklist, and I'm going to check all the boxes and move down the path. And it's that's a hard thing for so many people. And I get it because I see it every day on the mortgage side. And, you know, we have to challenge some of that viewpoint, challenge some of the reasons. Like, I'm surprised and encouraged that your financial advisor had that conversation, because unfortunately, too often I'm having to have that conversation. Do you want it because you want the house and because it's going to further your life and where you want to be? Or are you doing it because society told you you should, or somebody else told you you should, right?
Yeah, you said so many things. And the first word I heard is shame. So I just want to elevate that to like on our society. I found that like a lot of this is happening just because like we've been domesticated or programmed in that way. And so I think the curiosity and the questioning, sort of like, what's in the water? Like, what is going on with the water? And instead of looking at individuals who are drinking and getting sick, like going upstream and being like, what is happening at the source, to feed us this idea that in order to be successful or in order to be worthy or in order to get in the box, in the right box, we've got to own a house or we have to have a master's degree or we have to go to college at all. I'll tell you that college was the right move for me. It just was. And I had my first part of my career. I had a 20 plus long year career in education, specifically in inner city urban education. And there was one charter management organization that I worked with, and their whole message was, I won't say their name, but it wasn't unique to them. It was like this school to college. And every single day, the students, like on the back of their shirts, even the pre-K students would have the year that they were graduating from college or the year that they were going to college. And the whole, every classroom was decorated with the college that the teacher went to. So it was like, I don't love the word shame, I'm going to be honest, but like that is something to question, to be curious about. Like, is college the only right way for kids? So this CMO and many others have pivoted so that now, right, because this is what happened, this whole generation of kids went to college. And a few things happened. They didn't survive in college because they weren't properly equipped with the social skills and supports that are needed. And two, they got there and they're like, I hate this. I was sold a bag of goods that does not fit my spirit or my soul or my destiny here. And then they drop out and then they have the student loan to continue to pay back. Many other things happened. Some went and are slaying the day. And now they're leading the same schools with a different message. So I actually feel pretty encouraged. Because that particular shift in the education movement is, in my opinion, indicative of a little bit of a shift of our country that's like, actually, we're about choice. Yeah. We're about choice. So we want you to leave here and have a choice. If you want to go to college, great. One should be ready. If you want to go to trade school, great. One should be ready. If you want to go to politics or trade school or be like whatever, we want you to have choice. And then I love what you said about the pause too, because it is, there's urgency, right? There's this false sense of urgency that as soon as you graduate, your next step is this. And what I've found is I just turned 44. It's the year of magic. As I'm totally detaching from the idea that we can only do one thing. Like even just looking back over my 44 years, the question that we fool ourselves into thinking is the right one is, what do you want to be when I grow up? And I hope I never know. I hope I am always who I am at that moment. And I see you nodding. So, I hope my kid, what I've trained my kids to say is, I want to be happy. I want to be of service and I want to be on my mission. So there's no like associating with my, what do I want to be when I grow up has nothing to do with the title that you're holding or really the work that you're doing. It literally is, how do I want to be? Who do I want to be when I'm growing up? And these are the same conversations that I get to have with my clients and my community around who do we want to be and how can we start being her today? And part one is looking at which parts of me, number one, am I unsatisfied with? Then questioning, where did that come from anyway? And are my goals really my goals? Are my dreams really my dreams? So we first had to kind of have to look at the mud a little bit before we can lay the foundation of the home that we're building, this dream home that we're building, being the dream home for life. And there's so much beauty and there's so much breakthrough when you can go inside, hand on your heart, big deep breath, get quiet and ask your soul, your spirit, what would I love? And a lot of times it's like, I don't know. And that's okay. That's a beautiful place to start. Just like in, I don't know if your ELA teachers ever did this for you, but there's a practice called the Morning Pages. Shout out to Julia Cameron and the Artist's Way. But each morning you write stream of consciousness, whatever comes out on the page for 3 pages. And she encourages you, if you don't know what to write, then you're going to be writing, I don't know, until something comes through. And that's and then after you've written it a few times, something starts to come through. And that's right. Exactly what happens when we give ourselves a beat, slow it down because we're not in actual hurry. We have forever. We really do. Like this round is around and then we're going to have plenty of time in the next round. That's my personal belief. So let's slow our roll so our intuition can help guide us to hear what it is that we would actually love to do in the world. And the same thing applies to money. So let's say you're making a financial decision. I used to come from logic, right? I love my left brain. She gets things paid on time. She sets goals. She achieves them. But my right brain was often never consulted. My spiritual nature was never consulted around, okay, do I actually want this car or do I want it because it's fancy? Or do I want to take this trip or even choose this EFT to invest in? What is my heartbeat saying? And so right. consulting consulting the spirit and the source on that as well. And using both, because they're both gifts, I'm able to make better choices, and then helping women bridge between where they are and what they would love to create. That is super helpful too. And also just this theme of choice. And guess whose choice it is? Yours. Which brings us back to, who do you want to be and what would you love? And then we make choices from there.
Well, I mean, because the truth that it amounts to is you have to have some level of alignment. And I think initially speaking, alignment probably does look like, you know, a lot of the boxes that were surrounding you as children, as growing up or whatever. And even though we all aim to create spaces for our children where there isn't as much of that, there's a certain level of boxes that we can't really avoid. If our kids are going to regular standard education, right, like in a public school system, et cetera, like there's just certain boxes that are unfortunate realities. And I think it's important for us to start digging in and understanding how we do kind of seek out what it is. Some people are really blessed. Like my oldest daughter, she is an artist and pretty much was born with a pencil in her hand and a sketchbook, right? It's like that just bubbled through, you know, right away. I unfortunately was not like that. I had tons of things that I could have done and was good with. I hated the question when people ask me, what are you going to be when you grow up? Because I joke all the time, like, I still don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up or whatever, right? I'm just going to keep walking down my path, looking for alignment, looking for intentionality. And I think when it comes to money, my personal viewpoint is that it is a lot of a mix. Yes, you need to understand some of the mechanics of how the left brain works, right? Like, the math is going to be the math. So, you know, you wanting the concept of compound interest to be different. Well, guess what? It's not just because you wish it to be so. Unfortunately, that's not going to change, baby. Like, it is what it is. But what you can do is, you know, ask how that's going to play out in your life, right? Like how you're going to use these tools, these resources. And it's so interesting to me how many people in this day and age where we have more access to information, more access to experts who really can tailor, right? That are really in our corner or are really like, you know, kind of jive with us, right? They're kind of the same energy path with us. And we're still outsourcing our power for some crazy checklist. Like that to me, I think bothers me more than anything, because it's like, man, why are you doing that? Like, we live in an era where that doesn't have to be the case, right? Like maybe our great, great grandparents, they didn't have a choice, right? Like grandma 100+ years ago, you know, working, it was kind of faux pas. Like, so yeah, she probably stayed at home because that was really looked down on, right? Or maybe even getting an education was a little bit looked down on because of either the, you know, the rules of society, right? I mean, think about it. We're only about 100 years, a little more than 100 years from women even being able to vote.
Yep.
Right.
And like, open and take out our own credit, right? Without a husband.
100%, right?
And come so, on.
And so instead of stepping in to all of this power and freedom and liberty that we've now been provided that can allow us to step out of the boxes, to allow ourselves to live our lives on our own terms, we're still outsourcing our power. Women particularly, and I'm going to call us out on this one.
Yes.
Nothing drives me more crazy than when a woman basically is like, oh, I don't deal with any of the money. My husband deals with that.
Nope. We're going to be done with that.
Yeah. You don't know how much, like what credit is owed or whatever, because here's the thing, like I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll tell you a funny story. So one of my daughters, she was maybe in late elementary school, fourth-ish grade or something. And of course, this is the era where they're starting to figure out what they want. And so I asked her, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? Like, what, you know, what kind of job or thing do you want to do? And she said, oh, I'm going to marry rich. And I said, oh, okay. I said, great. And I said, so what else are you going to do? And she kind of looked at me like, well, you know, if I marry rich, like he's going to handle it all. He's going to take care of it. Like I don't have to worry about any of this rest of this stuff. Right. Like, again, the epitome of outsourcing your power, just like here, you handle it. And I said, cool. I said, I need to play a few things by you. What if this man passes away? What if he leaves you? What if he goes broke? Right. Like he loses all of his money or whatever. Like, what is your thought process? What is your plan? Like, what does this look like? And so oftentimes this is where, for me, the intentionality piece comes in, because look, life's going to happen and you can't plan for everything and expect, you know, I mean, I'm a very big planner and I don't have everything like laid out in nice, neat little line or whatever, but you do have to like, you do have to kind of know where you're headed, what you want, like what you need this to look like. And for me, nothing drives me more crazy than it's perfectly fine and acceptable to have a partnership and one person is handling more of this responsibility than that. That part is fine. But when you have outsourced yourself to the point where we don't understand what our money looks like, we don't understand, we're not being in an active conversation of how we want that to flow or what we want it to produce or I'm like, again, you're not living your life on your terms, right? You're just expecting somebody else to serve it up for you. And that's not true power. That's not true alignment. That's not true depth of who you are, right? And why in the world would you want to do that? Like, it literally baffles me. I mean, when people try to explain it to me, I can't even understand it, because it just is something that I could never do, right? And understand, my husband does handle a lot of our financials, not all of them, but there's certain aspects. Doesn't mean I don't understand what's going on, mm-hmm. or that I don't know. Just because he's dealing with it doesn't mean that I don't understand it. Trust me.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U. Home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to our Reading Rainbow days, like knowledge is power, right? And you know what else is power? Money, and being educated in money and knowing what the fuck is going on with your own money, okay?
For sure.
And so I would call myself a financial feminist. I'm a big Tori Dunlap fan. I love to follow all women who talk about money, and that, you know, many women have different ideas about money, but
for sure,
my belief about financial feminism has nothing to do with whether or not you marry rich. If you want to marry rich, like, girl, go for it. I hope you do, because whether it's you or y'all together, money is power. It's a gift from God, and it's a way that we can do greater good to fulfill our assignment here. Absolutely. And I think that women shy away from that. And, you know, we're both in communities where women are, we're having these conversations about expanding our wealth and believing in our worthiness and welcoming it in. And part of, I think that there's a balance. The earlier version of on my journey of personal development and coaching was very much swung to one side, where it's like, let's be expert manifestors and let's match our frequency and let's welcome it in. And like, I know how to manifest money. I've manifested a bunch of money in a bunch of different ways. Now, all of that's good and well, but if I don't have a plan or a purpose for that money, the money comes in and the money goes out, and the money comes in and the money comes out. And it should always continue to do that. But I lacked the education, the literacy, and the intention to direct that money in the way that it could do the greatest good for the greatest number of people, including me and my family. Absolutely. And so I missed windows of making compound interest work for us so that my kids, I'm literally setting them up to do whatever they would love to do. You know, as long as it's meaningful and contributing to society. If it's not, like, they're on their own. You know what I mean? But I don't.
There's ways in which you're trying to get that with trust, just saying.
Exactly. Yes. And so where was I with that? Okay. So there's this second component of being a financial feminist. I'm all for manifesting. My coach calls me the manifesting queen. I love energy. I love frequency. I love to just feel the magnetism and the energy of money coming to and through me. And I love to be generous. And I love the feeling of wealth and money and expansion. And where my growth has been over the last 4 years is in being mindful and tuned in to how much of money is coming in and where is it going once it lands and how much are we sharing and with whom, and not in a control way, but in a mindful way. And now I get to teach my 3 daughters about compound interest. So they have custodial Roths. Those things are exploding right now. They have 529s for college. They have their own personal high yield savings accounts and they have their own, you know, and we do all the things. But my kids are talking about money all the time and they love it. And they love talking about interest and they love talking about growth. And we are saving for a trip, saving and manifesting. So we're doing both for a trip. The Fridella family is going to France, April, 2026. And again, like, we're not exactly sure how, because in the manifestation, you don't need to know the how. You set the intention, you feel good. But also you are wise women with the money that comes in. We're going to set it aside so that it can start growing interest and start building so that when it's time to book our flight and our trip, our money has made money and we didn't have to do anything. And so there's this combo of yay for manifesting, yes, and also let's be wise about where we're investing. I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Part of my financial awakening, and I'll call it that because finances has been a journey for me. It started with what I mentioned, but one of the keys that took me, I would say, to the next breakthrough was consistent giving. Consistent generosity. And I used to say, like, oh, I'll be generous when I have more, then I'll give. Or I would be like, okay, I'm going to give this $100. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling generous. Like, here's $200, but not mindful. But now I have it implemented. I have a Friday money date. And so every Friday I take 10%. That's my threshold now of whatever I made that week. And then I have 4 or 5 places that it goes, depending on the calendar and what's events and things like that. But it's intentional and it's systemic. And ever since I started doing that, my girls do it too. They give their 10% and they choose where it goes to. The floodgates have opened for us. So now we receive more and we give more and we receive more and we give more. But I couldn't be giving if I didn't know how much was coming in and what 10% looked like. And then choosing, you mentioned the word alignment. I'd love for you to talk about, like, what does alignment mean to you? Because it's a little nebulous out there right now. But for us, alignment means I care about empowering women, especially who've experienced setbacks. So my money goes to treatment centers for women, and it goes to domestic violence asylums for women. And it goes to programs specifically that support women on the verge of a comeback. That makes sense. My girls are obsessed with animal rescue, so their money goes there. They also love their school, so it goes to the foundation for the school. So intentionality and alignment and just being awake to your own dollars, whether you making them yourself or you're welcoming them in from someone else or from some other entity, I think being awake and intentional and then feeling really good about it and including giving have been the keys for us. We're not perfect. Like, we're not perfect. But we've made such huge leaps and bounds over the last few years. I can't help but speak into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, so alignment, I guess, for me is a lot about, first of all, understanding what it is that you want, right? And, or at least in this phase, right? Because we all know that things change over time, that your desires today are not going to be your desires tomorrow, or not going to be the desires the next day. And so alignment for me is sort of what your heart's yearning is, right? And in that particular, in allowing yourself the freedom to not only accept that, but to walk towards it, because that's not always easy, right? Because sometimes you feel very aligned with something that there's a lot of resistance going to come at you to walk that path, right? To say, no, I'm not going to do it the world's way or society's way or whatever way, but this still does feel like the right path for me. And a lot of times it's really, really hard. And I think the more entrenched you have been with being a pleaser, you know, trying to live within the standards of what everybody else expects and wants from you, I personally just think that it's harder to walk in alignment for a little bit because there's more resistance because so many people were so used to you just like sort of being in the box. It's interesting for me, most of my story lies in that I am arguably incredibly successful. If you look on paper, the things that I've achieved over the course of time, and I did it all the right way. So like, whereas you went down a path of alcoholism because that's sort of, you know, turned off the noise for you or whatever, I dealt with the noise. And even when that yielded a lot of deep depression, even when that yielded a lot of, kind of yammerings in the background, because I'm in an industry that is very heavily alcohol, drugs affiliated, right? Like that's a very common, you know, kind of situation and thing. And I did things the right way. And I woke up when I was 40 and I just was over it. I was like, my life doesn't feel like mine. I don't exactly understand. Like, I know that I'm sort of doing my purpose, but not really. I have this loud voice, but I don't feel like I'm really using it. I was kind of shrinking into the shadows. And after sort of being told and encouraged by multiple people, hey, you need to step into your voice. You need to step into your path. I was like, okay, I'm just going to stop hiding. And I'm also going to stop being so afraid of the resistance that I know I will incur, you know, from all of the things. And so it hasn't always yielded exactly what I want or hasn't exactly gone as I want. And I'll give the very brief story. I don't think you really know that. So my husband and I own a very, very expensive luxury property. Like we're talking about $4 or $5 million, you know, property. So not anything small, very large property. And we made a very, you know, calculated risk. We knew, you know, going in, but all kinds of things happen in concert. We're talking the industry. Oh, sorry. Before that happened. So we started a business. We bought that house. I had my daughter 8 weeks, 2 days early. She spent 47 days in the NICU. And then as we started ramping up the business that we had kind of lost in this period, the mortgage market started melting down. My husband and I are both a part of it. And so we're like, okay, we're going to do the financially responsible thing. We're going to put the house on the market. We put the house on the market. It goes under contract. We don't know if it was the buyer or the buyer's agent or the inspector. Somebody leaves a half bath water running, runs for 3.5 days, did over $400,000 worth of damage to the house. And then now we have to go through a 6 to 9 month rebuild process of dealing with mold and like all kinds of crazy things. We have to deal with all of that, as well as me living in my parents' house. And my mom is very much the person who is a force to be reckoned with and constantly in my ear about what I should be doing and how I should be handling things. And should. And so I'm just massively hitting resistance as I'm trying to build all these additional things and show the world that mortgage for me isn't just about doing the loan. It's about helping you financially succeed. And that's my aim. That's my purpose. That's my lifeblood. So I'm telling you, I get it. Alignment isn't necessarily always easy. And sometimes it even means financially stepping back. I mean, that is basically what happened to me, right? My financial life is a hot mess. And if you think that that's easy to coach people financially and to deal with people's finance when you have imposter syndrome so bad, it just hurts. Like, let me just tell you, baby, like I get it more than you will ever know, right? I mean, most people would be scared to death if they were in a forbearance situation, not being able to make the mortgage payment, if they were 5, 10, 15,000 in the rears or whatever. Talk about, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then come talk to me about the stress and the pressure and all of the things. And so I literally am living proof that you can figure out what alignment looks like even when it's massively uncomfortable. And so alignment for me is deep and it's rich and it's real because I have had to fight up against it, right? With all the resistance that I've had, but I'm more fulfilled than I ever have been. There may be a lot more stress happening on the back end, but it's a way easier for me to have gratitude and to ignore this and let this blend in the background when what I'm doing, I know is the right path. And maybe it's why I'm so passionate about you living your life on your terms, is because even when my world seems to be completely on fire, like a dumpster fire in the background, I'm still here to tell you, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm telling you, it's still worth it. 1,000%, it's still worth it.
Yeah, that's such a gorgeous story that you're walking through. Two thoughts I had is, you know, I'm just chuckling about, I think they're using, we've heard this term midlife crisis, and really it's an awakening. You said, mentioned about 40, but it's this awakening of, oh, it's not a, maybe it is a spiritual crisis, but like in our favor, it's a midlife awakening where we say, all that stuff I used to do or used to do. And what also occurred to me is, so I told you I had a very long two-decade career in education. And many of those years, I really enjoyed it. Like, I was an incredible teacher. I was a high school principal. I was living in the middle of my dreams. And so, you know, in tandem with having alcoholism, that's a different conversation. Getting sober and being in recovery has also facilitated a next level awakening. But what has happened for many of us as we hit 35, 40, 45, 50 and plus, it's like, what? Like, okay, I don't actually want to be doing or playing that game anymore. And that's for marriages, and that's for a profession, and that's for living. I mean, COVID, there was a whole, it wasn't even a midlife crisis. It was like a global awakening. Let's call it a global awakening. And so what a cool thing to be a part of, because what's been happening in midlife for people now, so many women everywhere at all ages got to experience that. And I commend the women who are younger than us, because they're like, oh, they woke up so much earlier. They're like, I'm unsubscribing now. I'm 22 and I am not going to work for the man. And I also want to love on my, I just, something else that just came up that I want to talk, speak to resistance. I think we've had that the whole time. And I don't want to shame or blame any part of my life or any part of yours, sweet listener, because we're always doing the best that we know how to do in the moment. And we're going to love on that. Good job, us. It got us exactly where we are in this breath right now. I was onto something, because I really believe that I was supposed to be an attorney. Then I was like, well, I'm not going to be a doctor because I don't like blood or touching people. I'm going to be an attorney because I like my brain and I'm smart and I can do that. And I like to argue with people. So, not anymore, but I used to. So now I'm just like, great, you get to be right. I'm going to be happy. Cool, let's go. But I took a bunch of pre-law classes and hated all of them. And so as a sophomore, I felt I was experiencing, we'll use the word depression. I think it was just a detachment from purpose and alignment, like you said. And I had woke up, someone was like, well, what do you like? And I was like, I took a class called Pornography, Prostitution, and the Patriarchy. And that was amazing. Well, great. What kind of class was that? It was women's studies. They're like, why don't you take some more women's studies? And I did. And my whole life lit up. Hello. That's my, like, Girls Who Recover was born back in that class. And also the things that I loved were French. And I just thought, like, oh, but those aren't real majors, French and women's studies. And many people said the same thing, including, I'm not going to call them out, but like, including people I loved. Okay. And then the people at, like, the Tocart, remember being at Target, and they were like, what are you going to do with that major? And I was like, I don't actually know, but I'm having a good time, you know? So I want to give that part of us credit that has actually already always known what we've loved, but maybe shut it down a little bit. Last thing is this concept of resistance. We could do a whole episode on resistance.
Absolutely.
But for the sake of the time that we have, the internal resistance, that's the fear of not belonging, right? We have this deep human need to belong. And it's why so many women have been, up until now, unable to make breakthroughs in their finances. Because who would they be if they really became the kind of woman who welcomed in wealth? They might not belong in their family anymore or not feel that way. They might not belong in their friend group. They might not belong. My therapist, we're talking about my marriage right now, and she's like, if you decide to rise, you're going to have to decide, like, if this still fits, if you still belong there. And like, all this resistance came up because the noise in my head from the patriarchy, from church, from society is like, divorce is like the worst thing. Now, that's not true for my family. When I was growing up, it was the best thing. It was the keys to the kingdom. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been awful had that not happened. But there's still that level of resistance. And then the other thing is, this has happened recently for me, specifically in my marriage. I have great friends. So they're all like, go for it, girl. you know, like I cut out the friends who were like, what are you doing? I'm not available for that anymore. And to be honest with you, Jax, I'm not available for anybody who's not, go girl, you lighten the world on fire. You're clearly on purpose. I'm not available for that, even if that includes my marriage. And so that's kind of where we are right now, because my husband is like, why don't you go back and get that corporate job where you made a bunch of money? I'm like, oh, the one where I wanted to like kill myself every day, I'm not doing that. And if that's what you need, this isn't working anymore. And those are really scary, hard conversations to have. And like, to his credit, he's done a lot of stretching and a lot of growing, but the resistance is so close to from the people and their fears, their projected fears, who love us the most, whose best intentions speak to the small part of us. It's like, I just want to be safe and belong. You know, it's like that little kid that just like wants to sit with somebody in the end. Maybe if we got up out of that cafeteria and looked how beautiful the world is outside, we'd feel what it really means to be alive.
1,000%. I love all of that. And we'll just sort of wrap up here, whatever. And I'll let, you know, you kind of tell them where they can find you and what kind of offer, you know, you may have for them. But I'll just speak to the fact that, yes, resistance usually does come closest to home or whatever. Like I say all the time, my parents are wonderful people. Like I never want to give the impression that my mom is not a wonderful person. She absolutely is. I know she wants the best for me. I know that that's where it's coming from. I also know it's hard to see your kids struggle, and she's watching me actively struggle to like get through all of this and figure it all out. And so I know that some of that is coming from a fear, scarcity, whatever place. But the truth is full and true mastery, financial or otherwise, is only going to come if you are not afraid to step out, step into alignment, step out with intentionality, right? Be directing where you want that money to go, where you want your thoughts to go, where you want all of that to be guiding towards. And then knowing that, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable as hell. Like, it's not going to feel nice a lot of days. And yeah, you're not always going to feel included. But when you do start surrounding yourself around amazing people, like some of the communities that you and I are in, right? Like, you're able to just vent and just, you know, say, oh my gosh, I just feel like crap today or whatever. And here's why. And they will speak into you and remind you why you're walking down that path, why you're doing what you're doing. And so I think that there's such beauty in this, but so often we're just selling ourselves short because it's easier and because it's safer. But probably if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you're listening to it because yes, you want to have financial mastery, but you also want to have financial fulfillment, right? You want to feel like, you know, the money you're making is being made for a reason and a purpose and an awakening. And so tell us, you know, where, you know, what kind of offer it is or whatever. And thank you so much for being our guest. I'm sure we'll have to do something again, because like I said, I could talk about this all day long, twice on Sunday, probably.
Yes. I hope you continue to do that because it's so important, especially for women. The thing that came through for me, and this is what I would say to you, listener, if we were sitting across in a coaching conversation about money, is that all mastery begins with self-mastery. And so we could siphon off money as like, okay, now today I'm going to master money. Like I'm learning a new skill, and you can, and I've done that, and that's fine. But it isn't until we fully grounded into what self-mastery feels like and that we're able to have the greatest impact with our financial mastery or our physical mastery or our marriage mastery or whatever it is. And the other thing, like just to keep it simple, is how do you master something? Like in elementary school, they have this grading scale that's centered on standards, and it's not yet meeting standards. Not yet. You're approaching standards, you're meeting standards, and you've mastered the standards. And the biggest difference between any of those parts of the evaluation scale is practice. And so I know we've been in the spirit, the world of the spirit and feeling and frequency. And also, how have I gotten really good at investing? By practicing investing, by making some bad decisions, by learning from them. How did I learn about things like custodial Roths and 529s? By learning, by practicing, by making mistakes, and I keep going. And so that applies to finances, it applies to personal growth and development, applies to every single area in life. And so I love this idea of mastery, and to simplify it, let's start with self and then also remember that practice makes mastery. And we're not even going for perfection. Your podcast isn't financial perfection because that's a delusion.
I was going to say, there's no such thing, man. I've been doing this for a long time. If that existed, I would have tried to achieve it, but it doesn't exist. It just doesn't.
Okay, I'll save you some time. It's a delusion, just the idea of perfection at all. So there's that. But mastery we can get with, because that means we can try and fail and try and try and fail and then try and there's effort. Okay, but not too hard. We don't have to work too hard. Okay, that's where another conversations we have. Okay, so I work with a very specific type of woman. And simply put, it's the woman who is on the verge of a breakthrough. The woman who has something on her heart or in her brain, left side or right side, that's in her spirit. That's like, I need to be doing this. And I want support in creating the thing, becoming the woman who does the thing I've always wanted to do. And that looks different depending on who's in front of me. But generally, it's women who are about our age, who are saying things like, I've always wanted to start a podcast and I'm ready. I've always wanted to leave my real estate team and start out on my own and I'm ready. I've always wanted to go on a book tour and publish the book and go on tour. I'm ready. I've always wanted to speak to an audience of 1,000 people and I'm ready. You see the difference. A goal and I'm ready for the support. And the women that I run with are runners. We're not here going to be overthinking it. It's like, let's create the dream and let's run for it. And so women create what we're going to call miracles in very short periods of time. I think I shared with you earlier, I just had a client create, launch, and produce a podcast in 6 days. Not an episode, a whole dream of a podcast that she'd been thinking about for 3 years. And so it's for the woman who's done thinking about it and ready to start running for it in a way that feels fun and easy, right? I'm not about working 60 hours a week and killing ourselves. Like, if it doesn't feel fun, I'm not here for it. And if that sounds like you and you want to have a conversation, this is the gift, is that for the right person, and we'll decide before the conversation, I want to offer you a breakthrough conversation. It's not a quick 30 minute. It's a 90 minute extensive conversation where we get down and dirty in your dreams. And then we discuss how ready and willing are you to go for it. And at the end of this, at that conversation, you'll know if you're ready, you'll know if it's the right fit, and you'll be ready to run or ready to wait. And if that feels like something that you would love, I will make sure that Jax has the link to book your call. And let's go for your dreams.
I love that.
The other thing, can I just say one more thing is, whether that's you or not, I want you to come hang out with me on the Girls Who Recover podcast. We are having a blast over there. And I would love your feedback and to laugh alongside you in those conversations.
I love that. Well, yes. And please go at a bare minimum and listen to her podcast. You've been an incredible guest and love the conversation. And hopefully you guys found this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified helpful. And we will see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.
Thanks, Jack.